I've had a dollar to my name. I've had friends that walked away. And I've even lost myself a time or two. There were bridges crossed and burned, but through all the wreckage I have learned, there is one thing that I can never lose. If I got Jesus, I've got all that I could ever need. Take this world away from me, and I'll be okay. If I got Jesus, there's a hope that's living deep inside, a joy that I could never hide, a safe place to fall. If I got Jesus, I got it all. I've seen weakness turn to strength. I've seen failures met with grace. And it's not from what I've done, it's Christ in me. A miracle I can't explain. Oh, he's given me his name. I'm the richest one that I could ever be. If I got Jesus, I got all that I could ever need. Take this world away from me, and I'll be okay. If I got Jesus, I got it all. Someday that trumpet's gonna sound, and the King of Heaven will ride up on the clouds coming down. I'll hit my knees, and Lord, then sing my soul. I got Jesus, I got all that I could ever need. Take this world away from me, I'll be okay. If I got Jesus, there's a hope that's living deep inside, a joy that I can never hide, a safe place to fall. If I got Jesus, got it all. If I got Jesus, I got it all. You know, at the age of at the age of 5 and 6, I came down with rheumatic fever and couldn't walk, was in the bed for a long time. My mother sent off a prayer cloth asking for a prayer cloth at Reverend A.A. Allen's ministries. She brought that. I wore that every day. I do not have rheumatic fever. When I was a little older than that, 7 and 8, our family was crossing the river over at South Man. The bridge was out or something there, and we were crossing the river in our station wagon, filled with the kids, filled with mom and dad, and my dad got over just a little too far, and there was our station wagon going down the river there. We got out of that. The Lord saw us through that. At the age of 11, I came down with psoriasis over my complete entire body. Everybody thought I had a venereal disease. Nobody wanted me to be around me. Nobody wanted to sit by me at school. I had to quit school and everything. But here I am, a graduate. I had my own business. God seen me through that. At the age of 13, I was in a rollover car accident where the gear shift, I flopped from the back to the front, and the gear shift went into my stomach. And I crawled out through, we were upside down in the river. I crawled out through the back window, went over and sat down in the river. And I said, I ain't going nowhere till my mama gets here. They had the MS there and everything. I made it through that. Hepatitis C. Somehow my body contracted hepatitis C, and it showed up about maybe 10 years ago on a blood test. I took the blood test up in Michigan, and as I was coming down here, I thought, well, I'll just pick up the blood test. I got it, and as I was driving, I said, Tommy, what's hepatitis C? And he said, well, I think that's bad, whatever it is. And so anyway, I went through 2 weeks of taking another blood test to prove whether I had it or not. And then at the end of that 2 weeks, which was excruciating, and I played a song every day to God and whatever, you know, I wasn't sure how that was all going to turn out. But at the day before I found out, I told the Lord, Lord, I need something to reassure me that you have heard me. And so the next morning, Red Cross called me. And they wanted me to donate blood. And I said, I'm sorry, I've been tagged with hepatitis C. I can't donate blood anymore. And I said, wait a minute. Don't you guys screen for that kind of thing? And they said, yes, we do. I said, I gave blood last year. I says, did I have anything? Well, let me look. So she looked on it. She said, no, there's nothing on here saying that you ever had hepatitis C. And I said, well, then I don't have hepatitis C. So then later on that evening, the doctor from down here called and said, Mrs. Browning, I just want to tell you, you do not have hepatitis C. I said, I already knew that. But I said, did I ever have it? He said, yes, ma'am, you did. He said, you still have the antibodies, and 7% of the population can fight it without having all to do the chemos and all that stuff. So God got me through that. Bleeding internally, I was pregnant in my tubes and bleeding internally. I didn't know it. I called the doctor, and she said, well, maybe you should, I'll make you an appointment for tomorrow. And so then, well, at the last minute, she changed her mind, and she said, no, maybe you should come on in today. So I started to go in. I went out and had a flat tire. I looked at the flat tire, and I'm thinking, now what am I doing? My husband's gone to work and everything. And so I seen a bar light up there, and it was flashing on. So I went up there, and I said, hey, I need to go to the doctor's. It's not a good thing, and I need somebody to come and help me change my tire. So the guy came and did that. If I had not went in, I would have died, because by the time I got in, they were scrambling trying to get me up to OR. So I God made it through that. There was a truck hauling about about 3 years ago. There was a truck hauling something. I pulled in right in front of the truck, and we were on the freeway, and something was flopping on it. And the Lord, the Spirit said, move over. So I moved over a lane, and then it kept flopping again, and he said, move over. So I moved over another lane, two lanes away. All of a sudden, this side panel door flipped up in this flat motion, and it flew, and it was headed right from my windshield. I mean, as straight as you could get it. And right before it got right in the front of my car, right there in the front of my car, God had to have put his foot right down on top of that, because it just went shoom, and I ran over it. But it was headed straight for my neck. I could have died in that. God got me through that. Hysterectomy, I had cancer 4 and 5, and so I just said, look, you just got to get this stuff out of me. He made me through that. Listen, there isn't nothing else that he could do for me. He's already done so much for me. And if you could look back and see what the Lord has done to you, just as I was sitting there writing all of this out, and I'm thinking, my God, look what you have done for me. Look what, isn't he good? He's so good. Go ahead, brother. Hallelujah. I love you, Lord, for your mercy never fails me. all my days I've been held in your hands. From the moment that I wake up till I lay my head, oh, I will sing of the goodness of God. All my life you have been so, so good. With every breath that I am able, oh, I will sing of the goodness of God. I love your voice. You have led me through the fire. In darkest nights, you are close like no other. I've known you as a father, but I've known you as a friend. And I have lived in the goodness of God. Of the goodness of God. Your goodness is running after, it's running after me. Your goodness is running after, it's running after me. With my life laid down, I'm surrendered now, I give you. Of the goodness of God. Yeah! Hallelujah! All my life you have been faithful. And all my life you have been so, so good. With every breath that I am able, of the goodness of God. Oh, I'm gonna sing of the goodness of God. Hallelujah. Thank you,
Their heads were low, and their steps were slow as they walked along that long Emmaus road. And then a man appeared And as he drew near, he said, "Why are you so sad? Are things really that bad?" And they said, "Sir, have you not heard? You must be a stranger in this town, because the one who came in the Father's name, he has been cut down. They've laid his body in the ground." As they walked and talked, he began to explain about this Jesus and why he came. He opened the scriptures and began to teach. The preacher of preachers, he began to preach. In the wilderness, the children had nothing there to eat, but manna from heaven fell down at their feet. When they were dry and thirsty in a foreign land, living water came forth out from a rock in the sand. When the three Hebrew children were thrown in the flame, a fourth man appeared. They even called him by name. The manna, the water, the man, they're all the same. If you're still confused, let me say this real plain. It was me.
It was me.
It was me.
It was me.
I'm the one you left back there at Calvary. It was me. Who do you think hung the stars in the sky? Who do you think made the day and the night? Who made the flowers? Who made the trees? Who made the sun and the moon and the seas? Who gives life to all who believe? Who do you think made the blind to see? Who made the very air that you breathe? Who defeated death and won the victory? It was me.
It was me.
It was me who loved you when no one else would, who saved you when no one else could. It was me.
All who search you. as you are. When your last prayer is spoken, just rest in my arms a while. You'll feel the change, my child, 'cause you come to the well. And all who thirst will thirst no more. And all who search will find what their souls long for. The world will try, but it can never fail. So leave it all behind and come to the well. Yeah. Joy's gonna flow like a stream in the desert. Soon all the world will see that living water is found in me. 'Cause you come to the well, yeah. And all who thirst will thirst no more. And all who search will find what there's so
Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. If that's for you, I'm going to urge you right now to come up here and talk to the Lord about it. There's no need in going any further. He was very specific. If you want it, come and ask Him. Ask Him belief. Ask in belief. You can have it. You don't have to just be struggling. You don't have to walk around in unbelief. You don't have to walk around with lack of experience or lack of relationship. The Holy Spirit has spoke to us this morning. Won't you come? Won't you come before we go any further at all? We're here for His glory and His glory alone, folks. He's worthy. As Zee was recounting all the things that the Lord's done for her and throughout her life, she was taking inventory. And when she was taking inventory, she was realizing just how good He is. Just how much He's done for her. Because oftentimes we can kind of forget the small things until we spend a little bit of time with Him. And we begin to remember, oh yeah, He done that. And oh man, I forgot about that. And oh man, listen, the Lord is good. He's rightly to be praised. He's rightly to be worshipped. If you're here today and you've been asking something of the God, if you've been seeking something from the Lord, guess what? The Holy Spirit just spoke to you. He just read your mail. Won't you come? Won't you come? Don't be ashamed. Won't you come? Before I go any further, won't you come? I can share a message with you, and it's going to be from God, but the Holy Spirit just spoke to you. Won't you come? There's no need to be ashamed. There's no need to feel afraid. He's a good, good Father. He's a good, good Father. We're getting ready to have revival. Can I tell you where revival starts with? It starts with us first. You can call revival, revival all you want to and bring in a visiting preacher, but if we ain't ready for it, then guess what? It's not going to happen. Won't you come as the Holy Spirit gave the invitation? Won't you come? Don't be afraid to come. What are you afraid of? You don't have it because you don't ask for it. That's what He said. Won't you come? Won't you come? Amen. Hallelujah. else? Anybody else at all before we go any further? Anybody at all, folks? The Holy Spirit, He's bid you come. Won't you come? I never have understood why the altars are not full of God's people when the Holy Spirit speaks. I don't understand that. Folks, listen, He's a loving Father. You want to have revival? Do you really want to see your lost people saved? Then you got to be obedient to the Lord. You must be obedient to the Lord. Won't you come? Anybody else need prayer before we go on? I'm not going to go any further until we allow the Lord to have His way. Anybody at all, won't you come? Before I get into the Word, won't you come? You were looking to get out a little bit early. I'm sorry you come to the wrong service today. Because I believe in being obedient to the Holy Spirit. I won't keep you long, but I do want to share a thought with you as the Holy Spirit has spoken to us and ministered to the saints of God. And I believe that that is so important, allowing the Holy Spirit to have His way. And, you know, we have a revival coming up here soon. Got the brother coming, the evangelist, state evangelist, and I'm looking forward to hearing. I'm looking forward to the nights of revival. But I'm going to tell you something right now. If we're going to have revival, we've got to first be obedient to the one that brings revival, and that's the Lord. Amen. And as he spoke to us today, and folks come up for prayer, and we give God the thanks and praise for that. But the Lord has sent me on a mission today to talk about something very important, and it's about relationship. You know, we got a lot of people today that quote unquote will say they're part of the church, or quote unquote in a survey or a poll, when they're asked what religion they are, they may say Christianity. Whatever, that's fine. There's nothing wrong with that. But my question to you today is, I'm not asking you, are you a Christian? I'm not even asking if you're saved or you're not saved. What I'm asking you is, do you have a relationship with Jesus Christ? That's what I'm asking. Because if you don't have a relationship with Jesus Christ, you ready for this? When he comes back, you're not going to make it. It's that simple. And if you don't have a relationship with Jesus Christ, you ready for this? The world is going to pluck you off one by one by one. Folks, it's not about just church attendance. It's not about just prayer. It's not. What kind of relationship do you have with Jesus Christ? That's what I'm going to ask you today. And with that relationship, you ready for this? I knew what I was going to preach on Tuesday, and then Sister Vicki on Wednesday morning, he added something else to it, as he so often does. And, you know, there's importance in relationship. But you know what? With relationship comes responsibility. As I was cutting my grass on Wednesday, Brother Terry, that came to me. There's importance in relationship, but son, there's a responsibility that comes with that relationship. Each one of us are here this morning because it's Sunday morning and we're supposed to be in the house of the Lord. But is that the only reason we come? Or do we remember when we wake up every morning the things that Sister Z began to go over here this morning? You know what? I remember that time when the doctors didn't give me very good news, and you know what? The Lord delivered me from that. Or you know what, I remember driving on a trip one time and it seemed like for sure I would have wrecked, but for something it was like Jesus just took the wheel and he saved me. There's so many times, each one of us, if we look back on that and we take inventory, we'll begin to realize, you know what, God has been so, so good to me. Matter of fact, I know he's been good to y'all, but Pearl, I feel he's been better to me than anybody in this room. I love him so much, I praise him so much. And you know what? If he didn't do nothing for me, Brother Joe, but save my soul, that's enough for me to praise him over. He saved my soul. I was lost and undone and bound for a devil's hell, but guess what? He sent the Holy Spirit to begin to convict my heart, sent somebody my way to begin to tell me about the gospel, sent a Sunday school teacher to tell me about the Son who would die on a cross so that I did not have to go to that place. And I'm telling you right now, it's because of those people and the relationship with Jesus that they had, they poured into me. And today, God wants to do the same thing to this lost and dying world. He wants to bring revival, but you can't have revival without relationship with the one who brings the fire. Amen? Whew. That lady sitting right back there that I come in with in the same vehicle every time we come to church. We share a home. We've had 3 children. We sleep in the same bed. We have a relationship. June 7th, 1997, that little church right over there, Big Spring, Reverend Charlie Garrett officiated the service, and she said, I do, and I said, I do. That paper was sent to the courthouse. It's registered down there. If I want to go down there and look, Bubby, it's down there. I got a copy of it too somewhere. But you know what? When I said, I do that relationship, she said, I do that, it was also written in heaven. It's better not to make a vow than to make one and break it, according to Scripture, amen? So when I said that and I entered into a relationship with her, that came with responsibility, Tommy. And I take that responsibility very important, Lisa. That is the utmost importance to me. I have promised to take care of her, to love her in sickness and in health. And anything that comes against her, I am to protect her. I am to hold her. I am to love her. I am to be all those things for her. Why? Because I have to? No, because I want to. Why? Because I love her. I'm in a relationship with her. God has ordained it. Us two have now become one. So if it bothers her, it should bother me. If it bothers me, it should bother her. How do I know that relationship's supposed to be important? Because God, if Adam didn't need somebody, he didn't ever made Eve. But guess what he done? He put him asleep. He took a part of himself and he made her. Not that he could rule over her, but that she could walk side by side with him. God created each and every one of us to have relationships. Relationships. You have a relationship with your family. You have a relationship, well, you better have a relationship with family, because most of you probably staying in the same house as they are. And you know what? Try living with somebody with a bad relationship between you. Relationship is important, folks. You have relationship with everybody in here, your church family. You have relationships with people you work with. Relationships are the utmost importance. But can I tell you something right now? If all you ever did was fall in love with Christianity and quote-unquote church, you never focused on the relationship that God intended you to have with His Son, Jesus Christ. That's what I'm here today to ask you about. If we're going to have revival, we can't have revival without relationships. And ready for this? Once that relationship with Jesus Christ is really bought in and has really dropped into the good soil, can I tell you something else? You got a responsibility right then and there. I'm going to talk a little bit about that. Oh my gosh, man, it's almost 12 and it's just getting started. I'm going to ask you to stand to your feet. I'll try to give you the short version, but I'm not going to skimp on this. I'm going to read the scripture. It's one of the most important scriptures, or one of the most read scriptures in throughout the whole Bible. If I ask you, name a scripture, an important scripture that's quoted a lot, you'd probably go, well, John 3:16, yeah, and this next one is right there with it. Psalms 23, and it says this, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures, He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul, He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for Thou art with me. Thy rod and Thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." You can be seated. As David begins to write this with the leading of the Holy Spirit, it's important to realize who David is. We look at David and we think initially, right off the bat, you think about the giant killer. Then you begin to think about David who became king, and the Lord led him through many great mighty victories. But can I tell you something? The David that we know, the David that had all those accomplishments and the failures with Bathsheba, all those things were a result of the relationship he had with Jehovah on the backside of the desert when he was tending his daddy's sheep. That's exactly when he became who he was in the Lord. It's so much that I find it interesting that when he failed, when he sinned against Bathsheba, when Nathan came to him and said, "You're the man." You know what? David had an option right there. He was king. If he wanted to, he could have killed Nathan. He could have done it if he wanted to, but he didn't. He also had another thing. When the man of God pointed his finger at him and said, "You know what? You've sinned. You've got another option. You can become bitter." When the Holy Spirit says, "You need to move up. You didn't do what you were supposed to do." Each one of us have a responsibility to be like David, because of the relationship he had built with his father's sheep. He knew God was right. God's man was right. I'm here to tell you something right now. He could have never took out the giant. He could have never been the king that he was if it wasn't for the relationship he had with his father's sheep. You understand that? He said, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." And a lot of times when we get in that verse right there, we think, "Well, I'll never want for nothing." That ain't what that means. My goodness. It ain't got nothing to do with Chevy Tahoes, Ford F-150s. It ain't got nothing to do with a Gucci handbag. You understand that? "I shall not want." First of all, let's realize who's writing it. A shepherd is writing this. So in other words, what's that mean? That means that from a shepherd's perspective, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." So now he's going to lay out everything that the sheep needs because the shepherd's going to provide. Can I tell you something right now? Jesus is the shepherd and we are the sheep. Amen? He is the door. He is the way. He is the truth. He is the life. He is my shepherd, Terry. When the Lord put it on my heart to ask you to teach this morning, guess who gave you that message? The shepherd. Can I tell you something? Tuesday and Wednesday, when God began to put this on my heart, guess who gave it to me? The shepherd. I know the shepherd's voice, and another I will not follow. Why? Because I have a relationship with him. I know what it sounds like. You can speak all you want. You can give me good advice, and I praise God for the relationship we have, but it's not like me and Jesus have. You understand that? When the naysayers come, as we talked in Sunday school, when they say, you know what, I don't think it's going to work out, blah, 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 blah. But you know what? The shepherd said it's going to. His word said this, and you know what? If all hell assails me, I'm going to stand on the word of God, because that alone is enough to get me through. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. See, a lot of times we read that, we go straight to the pastures and straight to the still waters. And I'm going to get there, I promise you. But you know what? The first thing the Holy Spirit got me to do, he said, slow down, son. You need to look at something else here. I make him to lie down. Can I tell you something right now? A sheep will not lie down in an environment that it has fear that the enemy is going to overtake it. An animal will not lay down on all four legs and become vulnerable unless it feels a sense of security. And guess what? Those sheep, when the shepherd's nearby and the shepherd's calm, it don't matter what the wolves are doing, because it's got faith in the shepherd. As he stands guard over them, he alone is the one that makes them feel that they have safety and peace. Can I tell you something right now? I don't care what the devil's told you. I don't care what the enemy's tried. It don't matter how many wolves are on the outcroppings and up on the cliffs. When the shepherd is standing beside of you, you have confidence. You can lie down in green pastures. They don't have a chance with the shepherd. The wolves are afraid of the shepherd. They're not afraid of the sheep. You understand that? The shepherd with his staff. Why are they afraid of him? Because time and time again, he's defeated them. A wolf is a dog. Dogs ain't stupid, Tommy. They might not be as smart as humans, but they ain't stupid. They know if something has authority and power over them. They lower themselves. They hunch themselves. They put their tails at ease. They don't rise up against that. The adversary knows that Jesus has power and authority, and you're just his sheep. He don't fear you, but he sure does fear your shepherd. You understand that? If he's coming against you in mind, if he's coming against you in body, you know what? I can understand every now and again when you get a bit of information, it can jolt you. It really can. That's basic human nature. But I can tell you something right now. He's trying to scare you because he can't scare the shepherd. Amen? But he makes me to lie down in green pastures. What else is the shepherd responsible to do? Sheep can't find green pastures. Can I tell you something? And no offense, I'm not talking about anybody in here specifically, but sheep are dumb. They are dumb. I've known a few people in my life that fit that. I at times fit that. But sheep are not able to go out and find green pastures on their own in a safe place. You understand that? They just don't have the mental capacities. But the shepherd's responsibility is to take that sheep, to take that herd, and find green pastures. So in other words, he can't just take them to one place and just back away and leave them there. Guess what? They'll eat up all the grass. They'll eat up all the nutrients. After a while, the shepherd's got to come along, and he's got to go, you know what? You got to go somewhere else. You've done grazed this thing till it's bald as it could be. There's nothing else here for you. Can I tell you something? Didn't see this one coming, Tara. There's some of you have grazed along. You've chewed it raw. You've chewed it bald. And God's saying, it's time for you to move on. You can't stay where you're at. You got to grow, and you got to go. Whoo, I didn't see that. I threw that in for free. Can't sit still. Sheep ain't made sit still. Shepherd will say, here, let's go. Let's go over here. He leads me to those green pastures and the still water. You see, most of you probably know this, but a sheep will not drink out of raging water. It has to be a little pool, still water. So the only way that the sheep will be able to find that is first, you ready for this? It's God. He had to go out and find it first. He had to go out and find it first. So what's that mean? I didn't even have to do the legwork. Think about that. I'm getting to enjoy the still waters without having to search for it. There's been time in the scriptures where drought has overtaken the nation of Israel. I can remember an old prophet when he told Israel that if they didn't turn to God, it wasn't going to rain for 3.5 years. And guess what? They failed to heed God's warning, and it didn't rain for 3.5 years. And the Bible said they were sending men out everywhere looking for water. Even the king Ahab gets off his throne and himself goes looking for water, lest his livestock was going to perish. And there was this old fella, he was out on the expedition, and he was looking, and guess who showed up? The man that they'd been trying to track down for 3.5 years, because Jezebel said, you know what? If I see him, I'm going to kill him. And you know what? God protected him. God hid him. But when the time come, and God told him, guess what? You need to go now. That old boy showed up, and Elijah shows up to him. He said, you know what? You go tell Ahab Elijah's here. So in other words, I ain't running no more. I ain't got nowhere to go. Today's the day I'm going to see some water flow. Why? Because the Lord said so. And he said, why in the world am I going to go back? Peradventure that you go away again. He said, you know what? You go tell Ahab Elijah's here. Can I tell you something right now? Some of you need to dig in with your heels. You need to remind the devil you're not standing on your own. You go tell the devil, I am here by the authority and the power of the Holy Spirit. Couldn't find no water. Yet Elijah climbs the top of a mountain, mocking him. Mocking him. Maybe he's asleep. Chant a little louder. Maybe he's taking a journey. Keep doing it. The Bible said that the prophets of Baal begin to cut themselves, bleed, dancing all the more. Nothing happens. Elijah, you know what? That's one man standing up there against a lot of different prophets of Baal, wasn't it? And the Bible said after they got done with their foolery, let's just say it that way, foolery, he didn't have no big moving crane come in and say, stack up this and stack up that and bring in that over there. I ordered that on Amazon, and you know what? It'll be a perfect altar and this, that, and other. You know what? The Bible said he went to the altar that had been broken down. And he repaired the altar. He knew what the Word of God said. The Bible said when you build an altar, you don't hewn a stone. You don't do that. You don't chip a stone. You don't carve a stone. What are you going to you're going to perfect what God's already perfected in creation? He don't need you. You hear me? God don't need you to do better than what he's already done. He wants you. You understand that? But here's what he done. He took the stones, Terry, and he stacked them up. And you know what? I'm led to believe there was about 12 of them. Why? Because there was 12 tribes of Israel. And he began to stack them up in the same place that had no water. After he lays his offering right there, he said, you know what? Go get me some water. And the Bible don't say they had a hard time looking for it, does it? He goes and gets water. He pours it on. He said, you know what? Go get me some more. They got some more. He poured it on. He said, you know what? Go get me some more. Oh, go get it again. He pours it on, and he prays a simple prayer, and in the middle of a drought, God provided water, and after the prayer, God provided fire. I tell you something right now, God is your fire, God is your thirst, God is your drink, and I'm here to tell you, if we'll pray, if we'll trust in him, if we'll bear the responsibility, revival will come. God will come into this valley, he'll consume it all down to the last stone. Amen. I believe that. I believe that. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. How many of you have ever needed your soul restored from time to time? Whew. Hey, some come up here today. Needing their soul restored. That doesn't mean they did anything wrong. You know what? There's been times, I've needed that too. It don't matter who you are. It don't matter how close you are to God. I tell you something right now, Jesus Christ himself, when he was in the Garden of Gethsemane, the Bible said he went and prayed, And after a while, angels came and ministered unto him. Do you understand that? God knows what you're going through. It is not a shameful thing to be more than you can handle. God does not want you to feel ashamed to ask for help. Can I tell you something right now? Your help is in the Lord, but your help is also in the relationships of other people that God's put you in the presence of. You understand that? God has placed you here at Mallory Church of God in this season. You could have been born in 1722, but you were born when you were because God wanted you here. Why? He has a work for you to do. You understand that? He restores my soul. He leads me in the path of righteousness for his name's sake. So he leads me in righteousness for his name's sake. The Bible says a good man's steps are ordered by the Lord. I believe that. I believe that if we're following him, things don't happen by accident, Pearl. He ordains our steps. He placed you there to speak to that person that day. And when you didn't speak up, it's your fault. You understand that? If the Holy Spirit come upon you and God opened the door for you to be a witness and you didn't do it, that's on you, folks. There's a responsibility that comes with relationship. And you ready for this? He leads me. He leads me, Leanne. Your hand. Come with me. I'm leading him, ain't I? Stop. He's still got a choice to follow. He leads us in a path of righteousness for his name's sake. But are you going to follow? Are you going to go? Can I tell you something right now? As I begin to read it, as I begin to pray, Brother Joe, you know what he said? Here's what he said. I'll lead him in the path of righteousness because guess what? I have a responsibility to do that, but they have a responsibility to follow. So I'm telling you right now, he leads us in the path of righteousness. It's a direct order, a direct thing from God saying, guess what? You have a work to do. I saved you. I filled you. I created you. But you can't just sit there. You have a work to do. I need you to go tell people. I need you to get on board with the vision. I need you to realize, you know what? Just can't have it my way. Take my ball and go home. I'm going to follow the Lord. I'm going to follow the vision that God gave the pastor. Why? Because I'm in this church. I'm here for a reason. I'm not here for no other reason but to follow the Lord. And guess what? That means I'm going to follow the vision that God put, or else I am in division. And guess what? God ain't part of that. He's not the author of confusion. He don't give two people visions. He gives one man the vision. And it's our responsibility to realize he's going to lead me in the path of righteousness, but I got to get off my hind end and go. Woo! You got quiet on that one. He's going to restore my soul. He's going to lead me in the path of righteousness for his name's sake. You know what? I'm going to go, Vicky, because it's his name. I'm going in his name. I'm not going in my name. I don't have to worry about it being a failure because I'm going in his name, not my name. You understand? That's how good it is. He's went before us. He's just wanting you to go right now, folks. Go. Go. You want revival? Focus on your relationship with Jesus. When your relationship is strong, I promise you this, you'll begin to hold up your end of the bargain and your responsibility. You'll go out and knock on those doors. You'll go out and talk to those friends that God put on your heart. You'll begin to invite them to revival. You'll begin to pray for them. And you ready for this? You'll begin to pray and fast. You'll begin to pray and fast. You'll begin to pray and fast. Can I tell you what you need to do? You need to pray and fast because God wants to do something. He's waiting to pour out his spirit on all flesh so that your sons and daughters can prophesy. It's our responsibility to do those things. Randy's getting a little bit tired. Oh my God. Oh my God. Damn, he got to fast. That ain't easy. That ain't easy, man. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Amen. And I've preached on that before many times. I think it's got a lot of application. But today, there's a place over in the Kidron Valley, I believe it is. They call it the Valley of Death. And it's a place that back in the day, shepherds would not have really wanted to have to take their flocks through. Because it was a perfect ambush spot. for wolves and prey and predators and stuff of that nature. And so in other words, going through there was suicide, Tommy. But David said, you know what? Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I'm one man with a lot of sheep. And you know what? I probably can't have my eye on every one of them at every time. But yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Why? Because you, Lord, are with me. I know that you've led me this way for a reason and for a purpose. You've sent me here as your man for the hour. You know what? I may not feel much. I may not feel like I'm much in the church or that I'm a big preacher or whatever. But God, you have told me to go on this day and do this. So they, I walk through the valley in the shadow of death. I'm going to fear no evil, God, because in this assignment, you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Guess what? The wolves are afraid of the shepherd because he has a staff. Amen? Now let me ask you something. Have you ever been at a spot that you felt afraid? Sure. You're human. Natural. I tell you something right now, God wants you to know you've not failed him if you felt that. See, we have this thing that we do sometimes. I don't want to say we get a little too spiritual, Terry, because I don't believe you can be a little too spiritual, a little too much, whatever. Sometimes we get so spiritual that we forget we're human. And what I mean by that is, we're prone to fail, but God knows that. We're prone to have disappointments. We're prone for people to let us down. You ready for this? For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God as well. Is there any man or woman here today that is perfect? Raise your hand. If you do, I'm gonna call an altar call right now, because you lying. There ain't no perfect person sitting in here right now. That's just the way it is. If we were perfect, Jesus wouldn't have had to die on a cross, folks. But he died on a cross because we are not. And because he died on a cross, why, you ready for this? Because the wages of sin are death. But the gift of God is eternal life. And every single one of us was worthy of death until Jesus come and died on the cross. You understand that? He said, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, there's going to come a time when that is going to be literal for people. You understand that? You're going to walk through the valley of the shadow of death. I still remember this day. It was in late August. She died on September the 1st. My grandmother. So it would have been August 31st. What is today? Wow. But on August 31st, my grandmother, you knew her. She lay in bed fast, Vicky. Was pretty well helpless. She would die later on that night, early morning. But my dad gave me a phone call. He called me, he said, Bub, he said, I need you. I wanted to let you know we're having church with Mama up there. That's okay. I said, I'll be there. He said, Bub, I want to warn you. She's pretty bad. I hadn't seen her in a little while. It's okay, Dad, I'll be there. And we get there, and I was really taken aback how fast she'd went downhill. She just went downhill fast. Some people were just, it's slow, but hers was quick. But as we sat there, and the songs of Zion began to sing, and the word began to preach, and I began to pray and praise and stuff. Can I tell you something right now? I saw what Elisha saw. I could see that the adversary was gathered around, because her time was drawing near. As the adversary gathered around, it was almost as I could see him hovering over the room. But then I felt the Spirit of God and knew without a shadow of doubt that even though the adversary was around the room, angels of fire was around each one of them. And I felt the Spirit of God immediately, and I knew what that scripture meant. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Why? Because you, Lord, are with me. And I have no doubt as she drawed her last breath, guess what? the Lord was with her, because I'd heard her quoted many a times. He said he'd go all the way with me, Teddy Dean, even until the end of the world. So I praise God this morning that he'll go with me all the way, even until the end of the world. But I'm here to tell you, when he gives you assignment, it don't matter where he tells you to go, he will deliver you. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Now, if you wasn't with us Wednesday night, you wasn't able to be there, that's fine. Pastor Walker preached one heck of a sermon down at an Abundant Life. I come back, I told Tara, I said, man, that boy preached. I said, he flat out preached it, man, he did. He preached a wonderful sermon. But he touched on a piece of it. You see, we do this. Somebody needs a prayer cloth anointed, or we anoint Brother Joe if he needs prayer. There's nothing wrong with what we're doing by any stretch of the imagination. But that's not what they done back in the biblical days. When you anointed someone with oil, as Pastor Walker brought out Wednesday night, it wasn't like real cream, little dab will do. It was the bottle, a lot. So in other words, it would run down your head, down your beard, down your chin, down your clothes. So what the Bible is saying here, though he anoints my head with oil, my cup runs over, he don't give me just a little dab, Lisa. When I'm in need, he pours the whole bottle on me. Can I tell you something right now? The Holy Spirit of God, that's what he pours on you. That's what he pours on me. David understood this, because guess what? He was a little boy when Samuel came to his daddy's living room. And guess what he done? He poured the oil over David and gave him the prophecy that he would be king. Can I tell you something? It's because of relationship with Jehovah that he had right there, that when he walked on the battlefield with Goliath, it didn't matter that he was on the battlefield, because he'd spent time with the Lord in the field. And because of the relationship he had then, he took the giant out when he came in front of him. You understand that? The relationship is who built David. It wasn't David. It was the relationship he had with the Lord. God wants us to have that same relationship with him. He'll anoint your head with oil. Listen to this. There's some here today, because of upbringing, because of the way he's raised, because of experiences, whatever it is, it's no big deal. But you've not been able to have a powerful move of God where you've just been able to let go and release and surrender. And I understand that. Can I tell you something? If you'll be willing to ask God for that, if you'll seek God with your entire heart, if you'll surrender to him, let me tell you something. He won't put a little dab of his spirit on you to mark you. He'll pour the whole bottle on you. It'll soak you from head to toe. You'll feel like you're walking on clouds. You'll feel the fire of the Holy Ghost piercing through your veins. Let me tell you something. He'll let you know you're one of his. And when you leave here, you won't just jump high. You'll walk straight. Holy Ghost fire ain't for you. It's for them. Pentecost happened. 3,000 people got saved. He equipped them for them. He equips us for them. Not to sit on our laurels and eat the grass till it's bald like a bunch of sheep that don't know no better. The shepherd says, you know what? It's time to go here. It's time to go there. It's time to go here. It's time to go there. Look, if you've done eat all the nutrients out, it's time for you to go. But before you do, you need a visit with the shepherd. You need to ask him to anoint your head with oil till your cup runs over. Think about that. Not just a little dab will do, as Brill Cream used to say. Yeah, Lord, give it to me all. I don't know what it is, Lord. I've never experienced this, but you know what, Lord? It's more. I want it. God, just let me have all of you need, because I want more of you. He understands those things. He knows the intents of the heart. And it goes on and it says, surely, I like this, surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. So you folks, when you ask me, I've had this asked for, brother, you think you got to go to church to be a Christian? David said, I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Can I tell you why I come to church? Because I get to come to church. I get to worship Him. I get to come into the presence with my brothers and sisters. We get to come in unity. Woo! We get to come into unity in one mind and one accord. Pearl, and guess what? Oftentimes when we do that, we can have the same experience as that happened on the day of Pentecost. Surely. Surely. So in other words, because He is who He is, surely this is going to happen. Count it. It's a done deal. Surely goodness and mercy is going to follow you all the days of your life. You understand that? Not because you're worthy, because He is. Surely goodness and mercy. There's been times that I should have failed many times, but because of His goodness and His mercy. Tara's dad, bless his heart, he used to always say this about me. It didn't matter what happened to Teddy Dean. He could fall in, you know what, come out smelling like a rose. Why? Because goodness and mercy follows me. I'm not nobody, but He is. Oh, He is. And I am so thankful, Lisa, that He extends that goodness and mercy to me. But with relationship comes responsibility is the big thing before I close. So what's that mean, preacher? It means I'm in love with Jesus. I walk with Him. I spend time with Him. I commune with Him. He comes down. The King of Kings and Lord of Lords comes down in my bedroom when I pray. President won't come and do that, but Jesus will. When I'm hurt and I'm in need, He's always been there. Can I tell you something, folks? He's so good. He's so good. He's allowed me into relationship with Him. Do you understand how privileged we are? He loves you, and He wants to have a relationship with you. Now, once you have that relationship with Him, you ready for this? There comes a responsibility with it. See, we all like to shout, woo! We like the Spirit to move us. Praise God, Michael runs the aisle. Some people cry. That's all good. Be ready for this? There's a responsibility that comes with being holy. Pull your shoes back if you want to. Holiness is a requirement, not a suggestion. And if we're walking with Him, we're walking in holiness because of who He is. You understand that? I'm not holy because of who I am. I'm holy because of who He is. I've hitched my wagon to Him. I'm not relying on my own holiness. I'm relying on Him, Brother Terry. And are you ready for this? Holy people know how to act in public. Holy people know how to speak in public. Oh, holy people don't drink certain things. Holy people don't do certain things. Holy people don't go certain places. Holy people will go other places. Holy people speak His word, not their word. Holy people know how to be in front of other people. Holy people walk in unity and faith and love and mercy and grace. And holy people, ready for this? Know when God gives the vision and who it's to and who it's from. And ready for this? Holy people also recognize if you're lifting Jesus up and you're helping other people, then guess what? Even if I don't call it ministry, it's still ministry because it's edifying Jesus and it's helping people that was created in His image. Holy people look like who we serve, and that's the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and He's coming back to us that believe in Him. You want revival? Say amen.
Amen.
What are you going to do about it? Got a couple weeks. Can I tell you something? Proof's in the pudding, my dad used to tell me. You want revival? Are you willing to seek God for it? And can I tell you what the proof of the pudding will be? When revival comes. If you say you want to see your lost people saved, and you say you want to see your communities changed, prayer and fast. You've got a couple weeks. Can I tell you something right now? God's able. That's never been the issue. Are we willing? That's the issue. Are we willing today to lay aside the weight that does so easily beset us and run the race as the shepherd leads it, not as we do? Are we willing to lay down our pride and our ignorance in whatever case it may be? Are we willing to realize, you know what, Lord, I may have unforgiveness in my life that now has come into bitterness. You know what, as I said before here on Wednesday night, crow is better eat warm than it is cold. If you remember, if you bring your gift to the altar and you remember your brother has ought against you, what are you supposed to do? You're supposed to go back and be reconciled with your brother first and then bring your gift to the altar. Do you want revival? Then you need to search yourself and say, Lord, search my heart. Is there any unforgiveness in me that is now bitterness? I'm asking you right now to claim the responsibility that's been put on your shoulders. You're going to be holy, but you got to be responsible. You want to be in a relationship? Then you'll be responsible. God loves you. He wants to save your people. He wants to come up and down the aisles and just totally wreck this place like he did on the day of Pentecost. But he's asking you right now, will you seek me with everything in you? Will you take responsibility? Ready for this, see? Will you do inventory? As she did. And her inventory realized how much God's been doing for her. How good he was. I'm asking you right now, do inventory. You've got a relationship with God, and I thank God for it. But you have a responsibility to him now once you come into relationship. When I said I do to this woman, I meant it forever. Till death do us part. By doing that, I have promised her promises. She has promised me promises. There is nobody else involved in our relationship, Z. It's me and her. I'm not bringing nobody else in. She ain't bringing nobody else in. It's me and her. So guess what? It's you and Jesus. Your relationship, but with that relationship comes a responsibility that each of us have. Can you stand to your feet? I'm going to ask you to bow your heads. I know some have come up for prayer. And we thank God for that. Lord. And look. When this is over, you can call me Pharaoh if you want to, because I wouldn't let the people go. That's fine. But I've been obedient. Been obedient. The Spirit of God's moved, and he is moving. I'm just simply asking each of you today to do a little reflection. You've fallen in love with Jesus. Thank you. I'm so thankful for that. My life was changed, folks. If you're here and you're a young Christian, listen to me on this. This changed my life. This changed my walk with the Lord when I realized I didn't have to be a Christian. Being a Christian didn't just mean giving this up, giving that up, can't do this, can't do that, blah, 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 blah. When I come into relationship with him, Brother Joe, I begin to realize I don't want to do that no more because I'm in relationship with him. It's not a list of do's and don'ts once you come into relationship with him. So I'm going to ask you here today, if you need to experience God in that way, if you need to further that relationship, if you are one of them that needs to surrender, I'm going to ask you to come up to this altar right now and pray. Won't you come? Won't you come? It doesn't mean that you are not as close to God as somebody else. It don't mean that at all. It just means you've recognized, you know what? Lord, I want to surrender to you even more. I want to experience more and more and more of you because I believe there's more to be gotten. Won't you come? Ask God to pour his spirit out on you, folks. Listen, your idea of worship, my idea of worship, it don't matter. It's not about our ideas. It's about him and surrendering to him. Won't you come? Allow him to pour his fire out on you and change your life forever. Won't you increase that relationship with him? Won't you come? I already got some people up here praying. This ain't got a thing to do with how close you are to God. It ain't got a thing to do about being saved or not being saved. But what it does have to do is, you know what, brother? You're right. I want more. I want more. It's that simple. I want more. I believe God can do it. Won't you come? Won't you come? Ask God to pour it on you. Anyone else? Anyone else? Have your way, Father. You are so, so good, Lord. You're so, so good. Heavenly Father, we come to you, Lord, thankful for the privilege and opportunity you've given us, Lord, to gather here today. We thank you, Lord, for your presence. We thank you for your word. We thank you, Lord, for your anointing. We thank you for every person that's here today. God, we honor you and we praise you. We know that you're the King of kings and Lord of lords, but you loved us so much that you become our shepherd. God, I pray right now, Lord, that your word that went out, Lord, let it go in their heart on good, fertile ground. God, I ask you that you add the increase, Lord. Lord, I'm praying right now for revival to come through this church, this valley, this land. Lord, and for that to happen, it has to come through us. Lord, I ask right now, Lord, help each of us to desire a closer walk with you. Lord, begin to move in a deeper relationship with you, Lord, to begin to walk like you walk, talk like you talk, Lord, to take on the responsibility it comes with being a Christian. God, search my heart, Lord. Lord, if there's something in my heart not right, Lord, Lord, make me aware of it. Holy Spirit, convict me of it, that I may make it right. I honor you, Lord, and I praise you, Lord. In Jesus' name. The biggest thing David was afraid of after he failed the Lord with Bathsheba, he wasn't afraid of losing his kingdom. God could have took his kingdom from him if he wanted to. He's God. You know what God? You know what David prayed saying? Lord, take not thine Holy Spirit from me. Because that mattered to him more than anything. Because he realized how precious that relationship with the Lord was. Anybody else here need prayer? Won't you come? Won't you come? I'm urging you to get a little bit closer to the Lord. Because I'm going to promise you this. He can get closer. We can get closer. If we draw nigh to God, he draws nigh to us. But it don't go the other way around. Notice that. It says that. Each one of us has a responsibility to draw nigh to God. What do you want me to do, preacher? My E.T.? Emily, you wasn't here. Your daddy told me that he'd always ask you after service, what'd you get out of it? And your daddy's so big in AI. So I don't have AI, I have E.T., Emily Trogdon. So I asked myself at the end of a sermon, what do I need to tell them? What do they need to do? Here's what you need to do. Revival is getting ready to happen. Pray. Fast. Draw nigh to God. You understand? Draw nigh to God. Fall in love with Him all over again. Are you ready for this? Even if you fail Holy Ghost fire, God, fill me again and refill me to overflowing. You know what? David said, he said it plainly, anoint my head with oil, my cup runs over. In other words, I can't even contain it. He's able to do those things. So what do I need to do? I need to draw closer to God in my relationship. I need to walk a little bit straighter when I'm out in public. Amen? Anybody else need prayer whatsoever? Okay, I know your bellies are growling. Let's give the Lord a hand clap.